Hello all and welcome to the Answer is Elephant podcast. I am your host, Carla Turner. On this podcast, I will be interviewing people who have been inspiring me in my wellness journey, and in hopes that through their words and stories, you may also be inspired to create positive changes in your day-to-day life, changes that will affect your personal life, the people around you, and our communities. Each episode will have its own topic depending on who I am interviewing that day. Let's start connecting and growing our wellness tribe. Thank you all again for joining, and I am super excited today to talk to Sam Wickstrom. How are you?
I'm doing good. Kind of tired, just working in the heat today, the direct sunlight, but it's nice to be like tanned and full of that sun energy, right?
Yes.
So I'm not like badly burnt or anything, maybe a little red, but that's okay.
I think you're used to being outside a little bit.
So, I mean, normally I'm wearing coveralls at work, but I'm out in the... Yeah, it's nice.
So, where are you from?
Well, I spent most of my life here in Hard River. So, originally, when I was about 4, I think, we moved from Airdrie, my family and I, to Hard River. And... yeah, we moved out to Brant for like 5 years, but Hard River was like where we got groceries and everything, where we went to the bank and that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
it's always been like home.
Nice.
So, yeah, and I'm 23, so it's been a few years.
Yes. So 23. So your movement in your life is insane. Next level. I'm excited, actually, to see you sitting for a moment here.
Yeah. Using the brain muscles instead.
Exactly, yeah. Has movement always been a big part of your life? Were you always an active child and stuff, or...?
I asked my dad when I was, like, 12, you know, because I was getting good at flips. I was like, you know, was I, like, an agile kid? He's like, no, you're actually pretty clumsy. And so I was, you know, I don't remember a lot because I obviously wasn't like judging myself when I was a toddler, like, am I coordinated? But yeah, so I guess I started out kind of like a goofy kid. I do have a memory of like crashing my bike into the house because I didn't remember that the brakes were on the right side and there was a lever. And I was like, five. So it's like these scary moments in my life where, because I didn't quite appreciate or understand physics and its relation to my body, I got hurt, like falling out of a tree.
Yeah.
Or my brother had this little trailer on the back of our ride-on mower, and I thought it'd be funny to stand up, and I was like, I think about 6, and I was in this trailer, and I stood up. He's like, don't stand up. I'm going to pop the clutch, and it's not going to be... It's going to kind of...
jerk.
Move quickly, yep. And I stood up, because I was like, no, I can handle it. And I ended up getting a concussion, and...
Oh,
yeah, I was 6. In the hospital. So, yeah. I've always had kind of like a fear of... getting hurt after that, you know, because it was pretty tough for me at that time, coming back from a concussion, trying to understand, like, what happened.
Yeah.
And...
especially at such a young age.
Yeah, I didn't really remember. My brother just told me.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was crying a bunch, and yeah. So...
wow.
I haven't always been the most coordinated or, like, intelligent
mover.
Well,
it's good that you got back up and did it again and learned again, you know?
Yeah.
You do those things and you learn for the next time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got back up and kept riding. And.
So now you move constantly. What all do you do within movement?
Well, it comes back to... when I was a kid again, like climbing trees when I was like 8 or 9, 10, and onwards, like out by church and at school and just out in the parks. And I'd get pretty high up. Me and my younger brother, we'd get up, the really high trees, up 40 feet or so. And there'd be other kids around, like, "Hey, how'd you get up there? Like, what are you doing? You're gonna get hurt. How are you gonna get down?" And I was just an adrenaline junkie, and I didn't even realize it at the time. But I looked down, and I'm like, "Oh, it's fun. You just gotta trust yourself and like, careful with the next movement and whatever." Like, yeah, I felt like a monkey, and people would call me a monkey when I was a kid. "Oh, you're a spider monkey. Like, climb everything, whatever." It's like, it's just. I wanted to be physically free because I see a lot of people moving around in a sort of unmobile and restricted way, like in the way they bend down, pick something up. It's like you can tell their lower back is in pain, or a lot of people can't do like a chin up, for example. And it's just, we used to be, our ancestors were very strong, and the genetics are there for that kind of always moving, always ready for the next, interaction with an animal or with another tribe or, whatever might happen. So I think, modern society, we've lost touch with this ease of movement. And it's really fun, and everyone enjoys it, and that's why there's like climbing parks and gymnastics, and people sign up to do these things. But they do it more or less in a domain dependent way, because if you're doing it outside the gym or outside the park or outside the competition, you're considered a show off. So many people will be like, "Oh, well, I'm not gonna do anything, too crazy." They hold themselves back throughout daily life. And this holding back, holding back, holding back becomes a habit. And eventually, you're sitting down so much, being sedentary so often, because that's what you've traditionally done and what you've seen your parents do. But
I
I
think a
never.
lot to do with as we aged, or like as we grew too, was there was more, a lot more physical work back in the day. We didn't have the technology, the machines to do it for us. So the physical work of building things and making things was a lot more intense, and there wasn't computers to sit behind. So even if you were sitting behind a desk with papers and stuff, I mean, I don't know. I'm not that old, but I feel like it would have been at least different in some aspects that they didn't have like the emails and things like that. So you had to get up and do things to have those things, with the mailing and all that kind of stuff, that today you
Your
just click a
cell phone's
button to
right
do
there,
it.
and
Yeah, and your phone's right there, and we call and text and email to everybody rather than getting up and going around the corner to ask somebody a question kind of thing. So I think just in general, our societies have gone to a less mobile lifestyles simply for that. Not that it's bad that we have all these technologies and things, but it definitely has limited that in itself.
I think it's like we kind of craved the relaxation of luxury and, having, it's nice, like right here, we have this spacious area to lay out and relax, and big old couches and chairs, and it's a common living room. But people spend too much time in the living room, inside of, living their lives in a room, to say. And it's almost like it's too comfortable. So people become involved in this comfort, and it's habitual. Like, okay, I'm tired, I need to sit down, I need to relax, I need to let my spine release, I need to just,
I just got off work.
Yeah,
I'm
and
exhausted today. I didn't eat right.
that's right.
Yeah. How many reasons do we have to sit down?
Yeah, and then the cravings for junk food come in.
Yeah.
Like, with power, because that's, like, the easy thing to do. And so it's this feedback loop that most people are in, I think, mm-hmm. still. But it's great to see, you know, more and more demand for products that are actually healthy, that improve your physical performance on the cellular level,
mm-hmm.
and not just some quick pick-me-up sort of artificial boost, but a real long-term sustainable way of keeping yourself going.
Absolutely, yeah. What we put in our bodies has to be fueling our bodies and not just filling them. And yeah, if we're just filling it with whatever, then we're not going to have the energy to move. No, yeah. We're not going to have the ability, and our bodies are going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So eating real food, not fake food, food like objects, is most of a grocery store.
Food like objects.
Yeah. Most of a grocery store is actually dedicated to food like objects.
I don't know if I've ever heard that term.
And printed, you know, colorful labels that are deceitful.
Yes, they are,
and,
pretty,
you know,
though.
They're attracting your instinctual...
Beautiful art.
Yeah, your love of color, your love of ripe fruit is being used against you to eat, you know, things that have sat in plastic and cardboard for months, perhaps even years, with preservatives and...
Mm-hmm.
A ridiculous amount of added fats, low quality fats usually, and flavoring like MSG and stuff, just so that you still think that you're eating something that's alive. It's a deceit, you know. You're eating this sort of dead object of what should be food, but it barely is. It's like dust almost at this point. And so a lot of people are wondering, oh, I can't lose weight, I can't, you know, my joints feel like crap, my shoulders are aching, my wrists ache, whatever, my spine. It's like, okay, well, you have money and time, and where is it going? For the most part, I see it's going into your vehicle, your home, your belongings, and you end up at the short end of the straw with no money for supplements or medicinal grade food that's boosting your body up, like I'm seeing seagulls flying by right now, you know, coasting along comfortably. And they don't have a health food store, they don't have a grocery store, they have instincts, and they're listening to their bodies, and they're eating, you know, the potent flavonoids and stuff that are good for their immune systems. They're not avoiding certain foods because there's a social structure that says they have to, because it's not cool to, you know, eat that.
I don't
or
know, man.
The
birds
other things.
Being mean to each other, they might have that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone listening has read Jonathan Livingston Seagull, but great read. It's about a seagull who learns about freedom, and it's a classic.
Oh.
Yeah.
If not.
And it actually does have to do with my philosophy of movement. This seagull, you know, he really wanted to test his limits. He was a bit of a adrenaline junkie like myself. And so he got into going off on his own and trying to, like, dive into the water at high speeds to catch fish that were underwater, while the rest of the seagulls were waiting at fishing boat, you know, for the scraps. At the end of the day, once they'd parked the fishing boat and there's crap all over the ground of it.
Yeah.
You know, and he wanted the fresh, good stuff, that even if it's hard to get, you know, it's deeper in there. But he was willing to, you know, fly up as high as he could and test his limits and, you know, push past that fear barrier. And it's a very interesting book. It was recommended to me by a salesman I know, who I think lives a pretty sedentary lifestyle, but he also thought it was, like, really powerful. And yeah, it's
so what is your philosophy then?
It's really about freedom. I mean, it's about expansion of competence, you know? And why not? Why shouldn't we be more free and more competent in our enjoyment of life?
Mm-hmm.
So, to try to distill it down, I think that's what I'd say, because that's really the ultimate value for most people. It's like freedom of time, freedom of movement, and the feeling of unrestricted health.
Right.
Like, to go for a run and not be wheezing and tired, but like just seeing the birds flying by and feeling like them. Mm-hmm. Like just,
I think coasting. That can be a big part of why people have such a struggle to get started on things like that. Myself, I did not connect with movement much as a child at all. Mostly because I was coming into womanhood a lot earlier than the other girls and a lot faster than the other girls. And nor did I have the bra that would accommodate that. I was embarrassed as hell, right? Right. So I kind of, and I enjoyed movement beforehand, but it definitely made me stop movement in my life. Not that it's a reason or a thing, but that was the decision that I had made at that time.
Well, that is, thing. Yeah, a reason at the time, for sure.
And so now getting back into movement and stuff, I mean, A, there's those bad habits that are hard to break, but it's really hard when, I think, yeah, like it's, you go a little bit and then it hurts. Oh, well, this can't be good if it hurts this much.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually just wrote down on my like workout board thing for this month of being like, if it hurts, you're not doing it enough probably. I mean, yes, of course, if it hurts in a different way, then you should see a doctor. You should make sure you're doing your stretches and movements in a beneficial way for your body. But if I'm like, oh man, I'm hurting, I should take a day off. And it's that, you know, those bad habits, those thoughts that you have to switch, right? And I find that that's where a lot of people's struggles are to the beginning of their getting back into movement or whatever. It's just because if it hurts, we think to take a day off.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this pain response to training that I think is also cultural, because if you look at our other cultures that are more Aboriginal, I guess, you could notice that, you know, they put a high value on just getting the work done and getting out and doing the hunting and stuff, and it's mm-hmm. it's like there's pride to it.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute thing, right? So it's, you are, you know, in charge of your body and your destiny when you're on a hunt, and, you know, you're bringing food back to the family. So you're not like woeing with, you know, or suffering every step, bemoaning it. You know, when you walk up a hill, you're not like, oh, it's so hard, I wonder how many calories I'm burning, I wonder if I'm gonna lose the... No, it's like, I gotta get this food. So I think, you know, if you tap into that primitive mindset, and a lot of people, they're detached from that because of this modern comfort, I think comes back to like, we need to be more in tune with our inner drive to survive, because it's powerful and it's limitless, virtually limitless, and we don't know the upper limits to it. So when we start from there, you know, training is a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
because it's like a young artist with their paintbrush, and, you know, maybe it's coming out rough and, you know, other people can't quite see the image, but as they practice, it gets clearer and better. And, you know, eventually, you know, even Leonardo da Vinci was a toddler that couldn't pick up a paintbrush. So you start out at some point, and it's largely about your attitude, like just learning to enjoy the process of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding too that it comes with so many possibilities.
So. I like that because it sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I heard this quote from Zach Emsey. It's from one of his songs. It's like, sedentary can be tantamount to tomb. This is why a coma patient must be regularly moved. And I don't know if that's true, but like I thought about it just in terms of the expression artistically, and it's like, you know, a lot of people are kind of entombed in a sedentary state, and they're not trusting themselves to move, and it's this sort of coma that they get into, and I think it's sad, really, because I did for a time lose the passion for movement and climbing, and, you know, began to feel depressed, and just the drive wasn't there to go out and do flips and whatever. It was like, oh, this is stupid. This is, you know, I began to believe the background mediocrity way of thinking, and kind of fell into that. And yeah, you start walking around and your ankles are creaky and like your feet feel sore at the end of the day and stuff like this, and it's like, even at a young age,
I'm gonna really enjoy the amount of people that message me and say, he's 23.
Yep. You can't talk about pain.
But absolutely, there is, no matter what age you are, if you're not actively moving when you get home at the end of your long day, the chances of you being like, ugh, I'm sore, are fairly high. And I think we see it more and more all the time. I didn't see it as much as I was when I was a child, or even when I was 23.
If you are looking for a gift, fashions for the family, home decor, or some amazing handcrafted jewelry, Walker's General Store has you covered. Ask for Tammy and Susan, who both offer microcurrent protocols, and Tammy also does Rainer massage. You can check out their store online at walkersgeneralstore.ca. Again, walkersgeneralstore.ca. Shopping from the comfort of your own home while still supporting local. Use the code WALKERSELEPHANT10 to receive 10% off of your next regular priced items. Praises to Walker's General Store for being a warm light in the High River community.
So you jump around on trees or buildings or rocks or really anything that you can get your hands or feet or body on, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. That's, your nature's is your playground.
Yeah.
And you bike. You don't drive?
I have my license and, you know, unrestricted and whatever. So,
like, you I drive.
Yeah, I drive for my company. They're, well, yes. Not my company, but what I work for. So,
But yeah. For your personal self, you
I get don't drive on the bike right now. Yeah. I, for the last year now, I haven't had a car.
Mm-hmm.
I just bike or walk, and usually bike because, well, I can pop off the back wheel and the front wheel in about 30 seconds and toss it in a regular size car too, so I can get a ride most places, and, you know, other people enjoy biking, so I get out to Fish Creek sometimes in the mountains, go up for rides.
Nice. Yeah. And you're competing soon.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Canmore 100, or sorry, not Canmore, Crow's Nest 100, but I'm doing the 50K. It's just called Crow's Nest 100 on Facebook, so if anyone wants to look it up.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's August 7th, and I'll be starting at, I think, 6:30 a.m., and I'm not sure how long it'll take me, but I'm sure it'll be beautiful. Like,
oh, yeah.
It'll be warm, most likely. But if it's rainy or anything like that, I've got the gear, and,
yeah,
you know.
Have you done these before, or is this
never,
the first one?
No, yeah, this is my first race. Exciting. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, my buddy Andrew, he was talking about how I should get into it, and because I've done so much biking,
like, yes,
I can balance no problem. I can take corners really fast.
Your balance, how do you find your balance?
It's really the, you know, just constantly going at it. Like, you know, if some people wait in line at a grocery store and they'll get bored waiting. I'll stand on one foot and, like, do some stretches with the other leg, and I don't really care if people are looking at me weird, because, like, I know I'm not just going to waste time. Like, if I want to work on my balance, I'll, you know, close my eyes and lift one foot, like, slightly off the floor. And that's activating those, I forget what they're called, mechanoreceptors or something in your joints. Or, do you know the word for them?
No.
Some kind of receptor. It's a special neural cell. But, yeah, it's just about, like, having that opportunistic way of seeing your environment. Like, you don't just take your balance for granted, because then it atrophies and it's gone. So when you get injured and stuff, you realize that, like, if you ever twisted an ankle and it got swollen up and you had to, like, get back on it, and you realize it's kind of weak and the balance isn't quite there, and, like, you gotta take time and effort to focus on rehabbing that shit. It's the same thing with growth and breaking through your limitations is, feeling through that sort of pain, which is right around your limit, but physically, you know, you can do it. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's a bit of, like, a fear response ingrained in your cells, I think. That's like, hey, this is uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, I understand. You gotta have that little conversation with yourself, or that part of your body that's whining, you know, like, just trust and work through this. And I think that also comes down to just the placebo effect, right? That power of intention, that power of, like, will.
Absolutely, yeah. And, right? And being in that moment.
Yeah.
If your mind is on groceries or something, you're not going to balance.
Exactly. The to-do list and default mode most people live in is wrecking their physical awareness.
Absolutely.
Like, ruining it. And, yeah, it's like you gotta, I mean, I use binaural beats sometimes for switching brain waves, because that's proven it works. Like,
yes.
Meditate for 5 minutes, do some box breathing. You breathe in for 4 seconds. You hold for 4 seconds. Breathe out for four. Hold for four. And repeat. So, something like that. For even, you know, 5 minutes, you just do that, and you're, like, in the zone, you're grounded, you can feel your environment again, and work on that balance stuff. But it does take that intention of, like, okay, I'm going to set down the human issue reel that never ends, because there's always going to be a problem that's coming up that, like, you know, You feel called to solve, and, you know, other people are expecting you to step up and solve it. And so you're in this problem-solving mode, and a lot of people are just sort of stuck there. You know, I've seen it at different places I've worked, where the project manager or the higher-up kind of guy is just, like, a little bit, like, twitchy and physically not there, because he's always got to mentally be going at the next thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you got to be careful of that, you know, mind indulgence with problem solving and agendas and the future, because you will miss the present moment.
Absolutely. I think, too, like, in this society, we're told that if you can't multitask, then you're not a good employee and things like that, and you should be able to multitask. It's actually been proven now that multitasking in a true form of it being like beneficial and more productive. There's only about 3% of the world globe that can actually do it properly and actually see results from it. The typical human brain, we cannot focus on all of these different things that much together. In my life coaching, it was explained kind of as like, okay, I want you to start reading a book. And then 2 days later, stop. Stop right there. Doesn't matter if you're at the end of a chapter or not. Stop right there. Now remember where that is. Now pick up this other book. You're going to start reading that too. And then 2 days later, okay, stop. Wherever you are, stop. Okay, how about we pick up this third book now?
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, you're going to stop again. And then can you tell me what happened in the first book? No. You can't. No.
Like barely.
Right? It's you're not... So that project is not being, the focus is not fully there. So then it's never getting completed because it's not actually completed. Right. So yeah, it's the same thing when you're trying to find balance or trying to focus on learning a new movement. You have to just give it that time and give it that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just comes down to like, okay, I'm going to hold this position for 15 seconds, like a headstand.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you feel physically ready for a horse stance squat and you can hold it for 15 seconds and you are, you know, open to those kind of like inklings in your body where it's like, okay, I feel I'm ready for this. And it's not just like, not just overdoing it, but it's just being ready for the next set of challenges that could come up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm working on splits and handstands and, you know, those kinds of mobility movements. They take years to develop properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a real appreciation for what your body can do, like your joints and the cells involved and all that. So,
kind of losing my train of thought. Does your mother look at some of the things you do and say, child, stop it? Now, I know your mom a little bit.
Yeah.
But I could see, like, me as a mother, I'm like, some of the things that you do, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I remember, like, I broke my ankle when I was 17 and I came home just in a lot of pain. I was asking for like an Advil and stuff, and she's all stressed out and like, oh, we're gonna have to go to the emergency. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck. And she's like, yep, this is what happens, you know, when you're doing all those things, this is bound to happen. And she's laying into me a little bit about it, and I was like, okay, right, yep. And yeah, I mean, I think all in all, she's proud of me because she knows it's not just about, like, being cool or something. It really is about health and freedom and leadership and competence. And, you know, I'm not, like, obsessed with safety. I'm a bit of adrenaline junkie, so it can be... concerning for people.
Yeah, like when you're learning different things and stuff, do you like research or anything on like how to do it properly, or do you just...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of time watching YouTube videos on the calisthenics kind of moves that I do, like front lever, back lever, elbow lever, things like that, muscle up, because technique is important, and if you can learn efficient ways to move from other people and efficient ways to train, you're going to spend a lot less time and you're going to have that movement a lot faster, because of course people have already been doing these things for, you know, 50 years, centuries, more.
Yeah. You do like tightrope thing, like, is that what that's called?
Slack line.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
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 Got into that about 3 weeks ago, and yeah, it's just about balance, tuning, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give yourself time to focus and try and try and fail and try again and try again and try again and try again and try again. And try again. It's like, yeah, it takes patience, and a lot of the time, you feel like you're not making progress. Well, yeah, you got to go back to theory and reading up on proper technique and what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing, because sometimes you have habits that aren't efficient. Yeah. And
well, it takes time too for our body to kind of understand if it's a new movement, right? If it's something that your body hasn't positioned quite in the same way, I find for myself anyway, I just noticed that there was a yoga pose that I was like, oh, that's how my knees are supposed to be. You know, it's like I couldn't quite feel it to begin with, kind of right. thing. And then all of a sudden it's because you're getting moved better at the other parts of the movement, then mm-hmm. it becomes more natural in right. my mind as you do it more, just as you're saying, you know, the more you do something, the better you're going to get at it, of course, right? So, yeah, I think sometimes learning the techniques in itself can take quite a bit of time just to have your body understand how it's supposed to feel. Because at the start of a lot of things, movement-wise, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what the heck my body's doing over here. I feel like I'm on a twister mat. I don't understand.
Yeah. That's how I feel right now with, like, front flip 360 or like a back flip 360, like a twist, because I mean I can do it, it's just not my air awareness is so low.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't quite fully conceptualize how I'm doing the movement, so
mm-hmm.
when I look at it on a video, it's sloppy, like my form is off. It's not very good, and it kind of frustrates me, but that's part of what keeps me going, is that feeling of like, ugh, like I know I can do better.
Yeah.
I know I can do better.
Yes.
And then I do it again, and it's like, okay, yes, that's a little bit better. I'm going to do it again, it's going to be better. So, like, you have to, you know, be willing to suck and not understand and feel like a goof.
And embrace those moments.
Yeah, and sometimes you're going to get injured too.
Yeah.
And that's when it really sucks. You know, when you're trying to get off the couch and your back is like screaming at you and you're like, holy shit, oh fuck. Yeah. But it's in those moments where you got to say, okay, movement is important, but so is rest. And, you know, you can develop a lot of skill just in dreams and meditation.
Yeah, have you ever floated?
Floated.
In isolation tanks?
Negative. No, I have not.
Yeah, we're gonna go floating.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of athletes use it. So when you're meditating, because that's basically flotation, it turns into them meditating how to shoot a basketball, right?
Right.
So yeah, next time you're meditating, really meditate on like how to flip in the air properly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've had dreams of doing flips and whatever. Like, a recent one I had is a backflip off of my slack line. And in the dream, I got it, but I was just a little bit off and kind of, like, tumbled onto my ass a bit. But, like, I knew I was really close. So, yeah, like, you're mind, your inner creativity will give you those clues, like what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you really want to learn something, like it comes from that level of like dreams, you're gonna do it.
Interesting.
Because it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
If it comes from some sort of egoic intention, like, oh, people are gonna be so impressed.
Right.
I'm gonna be the coolest. I'm going to be, like, tough guy. It's a weak place to start, and you're not going to get results. And if you do get them, they're going to fade quickly because
they're fake results.
Yeah, those intentions were, you know, short-lived intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a motive that's extraordinarily powerful, then your body will become extraordinarily powerful.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a motive that's weak, you can expect your body to weaken. And quickly, too.
Yeah.
Like, these changes happen quickly. Especially when you're really meditating. And people don't realize that they're really meditating on pain and suffering and weakness and mediocrity. Oh. And that's what they're getting out of life. And a lot of these diseases, like heart disease, is the number one killer in North America. What is this disease coming from, really? I think it's a lack of heartfelt, intentional living.
Mm-hmm. I'm being really cautious of, like, my vocabulary lately. Like, I've stopped considering myself to be busy. Because, like, I choose what I want to do. If I'm feeling like I'm overwhelmed, then I need to make better choices. And so I'm not, oh, look at me, I'm busy. I'm blessed that I get to do all these certain things that I enjoy doing. And another one recently that I've been trying, although, like, the last couple weeks, it's been tough. The heat definitely does it for us. But, like, I'm going to take the word tired out. And it's going to be a hard one for me because I've always been like, oh, yeah, I don't sleep well. My child doesn't sleep well. How many times am I saying this over and over again? Like, no wonder I'm not sleeping well. I go to bed thinking I don't sleep well.
Manifesting that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's, and we talk about it all the time, right? It's, how are you today? Oh, I'm a little tired, but just because I've you have busy. Slightly less energy that day, yeah. You know, so a lot of it is that intention of throughout your day, what are you saying about yourself or others and whatnot?
Yeah, you can wake up and be like, well, I'm essentially the self-conscious energy of trillions and trillions of stars, or you could say, you know, the unstoppable force of gravity and, you know, atomic bonds and, you know, love. If you'll think that way, feel that way, because really those things are undeniable. And if you get into that undeniable state, you know, you're in touch with truth and reality. You know, there's a river flowing through you then of strength and energy and focus, and you're not tired.
Yeah.
So it's in you to feel, and I think a lot of people haven't witnessed that, but it's there to witness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different things that can help.
Yeah, there is. So do you coach people?
I mean, I don't do, like, anything officially. I don't have a business, but I've helped friends
with losing. I think you should,
losing,
by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I wanted to, right? A few years back, I wanted to, but I felt like I lacked the dedication to doing, like, a course through the government or through some institution. And
I can respect that.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to play around and figure things out for myself.
Beautiful.
And I've enjoyed that process, and I've done well, I think, for doing it that way. I've always been a bit of a self-starter, and, you know, doing things on my own has been pretty easy.
I think you would be excellent at something like that, mentoring of some kind. If anything, like, if there's a Big Brother, Big Sister program in town, I think you should do it. I think you should be a big brother. And I say this, and I'm going to tell this story, because my little boy has such a man crush on you, and it's so adorable to me. The first time we met you, you were flipping off of logs, you were balancing on logs, all this kind of stuff, and you were also skipping rocks on the river.
Yep.
And I don't know if he'd just never seen it before, or if he just, like, really loved your energy, of course.
Right.
And you were trying to get him to throw, you were teaching it. You taught me. I had never skipped a rock in my life. Yep. You got me to do this. So thank you. But my son, you were trying to get him so hard, and he's such, so hesitant sometimes to try new things. And I don't really push it a lot of times. I do to a point, but I don't want it to turn into, like, a bad thing either. Mm-hmm. Right. And I let him kind of go to it on his own, because he does usually do things eventually, right? And he still did not throw a rock whatsoever, but he had really fun time picking all the rocks out with you and having you throw them. And and every day now he's, well, do you have a picture of the buddy, who the guy who throws the rocks, Mama? And every time he sees someone on a bike, oh, that's the guy who throws the rocks, Mama. No, that's just a person on a bike. And so I definitely saw the tools that you have within yourself, just as you, that motivate and push other people and get people excited for really whatever. I mean, I could have taken that, you know, I think probably both of us, we fed off that energy for a while, right? You know, we probably came home and cleaned the house a little bit more or something like that, right? So I think you would be phenomenal at it. And so I think you should. And everyone on the podcast now can reach out to you and say, I agree.
So if you have been following me for any length of time, you probably know my love for fresh juices and smoothies. Refresh Food and Drink is the hot spot in High River. They use organic ingredients for their beverages, and they also carry healthy lunch items, bone broths, kombucha on tap, elixir blends, healthy snacks, reverse osmosis water, and so much more. They either make these items in-house or source them out from other awesome local people. One of my favorite things that they offer are juice cleanses. This is an amazing way to detox your system while also giving your body all of the nutrition that we need for optimal thriving. Use the code ELEPHANT10 to receive 10% off of your next juice cleanse. Thank you again so much to Refresh Food and Drink for keeping our community healthy and happy.
I feel like I can help people immensely with the things that I've learned, because I've read a lot of books on health and mental health and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced depression and anxiety and, you know, that state where you're not physically where you want to be, and a push-up feels like a miserable thing. And, you know, I've crawled my way out, and, well, it's not just me, of course. So many people have helped me, and I want to pass that on. I want to share that energy and keep the good times rolling, really. So, and yeah, the real good times, not just the, you know, ego, like, oh, I have this much money or I have this big house, because houses and money and cars hold just as much emptiness and loneliness, you know, as poor people with shacks and little motorcycles and jobs by the seaside with little to show for it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, it makes me think about these people in developing countries where they're happier and they're not making as much money, but they have community. They have real community. Mm. They look each other in the eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel each other.
Yeah.
And it's not, they're not distracted by all these symbols. Like, this feeling of love is so much more tangible when you're not surrounded by a symbolic chase. Mm-hmm. And this, oh, I'm busy stuff that we've created, it's kind of falling apart, because we're entering more and more of an automated, you know, on-time delivery type of system. So, I mean, there's chances for the economy to go one way or the other, but if you want to take, say, like Matt Ridley, Rational Optimist, it's a book I read, if you want to take that kind of perspective, it goes like up and up. Mm-hmm. Like, we compound on our ideas, and ideas meet with other ideas and create better, simpler, more complex systems. And, you know, commerce and free trade and all these things, as we've seen in the past 20 years, continue to bring us more and more wealth and more ease. And with that automation, with that, you know, like, it's there, the work is done, There's a hydraulic doing it for you. There's an electric motor doing it for you. You don't have to work with your hands anymore. People need to find something physical that they love that isn't, like, work, mm-hmm. you know? Because soon, work is going to be mostly done by robots.
Exactly, yeah.
There's a very good chance of that.
So much of it already.
So you can choose WALL-E style, if anyone's seen that movie,
yeah.
to, you know, sit in your little bubble car and get really big and have all the food and things and entertainment you can possibly handle to the point of dying that way. Or, you know, you can look back at the earth and see all the junk that's being piled up from that state of living and think to yourself, damn, I really miss, you know, those beautiful beaches that were once not covered in trash. I really miss, mm-hmm. you know, the natural beauty around me that didn't cost anything. It was just there to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. And how do you connect with nature?
Well, for one, I sleep out in a hammock. And
yeah, you certainly connect with nature.
Yeah, I've been sleeping in a hammock for the better part of a year now. I stopped renting rooms. Like I moved out when I was 18 and I just rented rooms. There's like three different rooms I had over the years, and I'd pay $500 a month like anyone else in town to, you know, have a bed and a couch and a TV and a microwave and a dishwasher and a sink and nice things. But I didn't feel like paying that much, and I was comfortable with the idea of finding like a body of water and having my soap and figuring things out. Mm-hmm. And so I had a gym membership at any time, so I could go and shower, and I just do my laundry at the laundromat. And so I started that bike trip back in August last year. Started in Salmon Arm.
Oh.
And, you know, I just rode on the side of the highway all the way out to Tofino and around the island and back to Cranbrook. And it was a total of something like 2,500K
mm-hmm.
in about 3 months.
Yeah, lots of that through that area. Lots of people out going through or hitchhiking. And
So that's one of the ways I connected with nature, is just that, like,
living.
I didn't even want to drive. Like, I thought about it. Like, I could resign from my job and drive out, and because they didn't want to give me that much time off. But I wanted to take my time and enjoy BC
mm-hmm.
properly, because I always loved it.
Yeah.
When I went to out to Nelson when I was a kid a few times, I loved it. And Creston and places like that with the fruit orchards and
the
lakes and mountains.
Edgerton is where I lived.
Yeah, the smell of the air, the feeling of people being happier because they know they're in that natural paradise.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go out and just get my fill of it. So, that's what I did. I got rid of my car, I got rid of the room I was renting, and the TV I had, and the bed I had, and narrowed it down to a hammock and a backpack and a bike. And a little waterproof compression sack on the back of the seat rack. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the winter was interesting to figure out when the snow fell and it was like knee deep. I just, you know, sucked it up, put my bike on my shoulders and walked out to where my hammock was, because the trail was covered. And it was really about gratitude. Like, gratitude that I can breathe and my lungs and those little alveoli or whatever they're called in there, the bronchial tubes. They've been carrying me over mountain passes and through cold winter nights, and I've been just fine.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Like, I love my lungs. I appreciate just, you know, being able to breathe fresh air, and my eyes, you know, to see the light refracting through green leaves and reflecting off of them.
Yeah, it's in my mind, our bodies are the simplest things that we can be grateful for.
Yeah.
And it's usually the thing that we take for granted the most in our day-to-day lives through our actions and how we treat it. So, yeah, I love that. Love that. Beautiful.
Thanks.
So you get out in cold and you also do the river dips. You're, I think you're my fourth one on for the group of y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The cold shower is an everyday thing for me for the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And 5 years you've been doing this now?
Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
It's been like, you know, a few days here and there where I was like, I don't feel like it, and I didn't do it, but...
I mean, we're all human.
Yeah.
It's allowed.
On the whole, you know, I've adapted, and my ability to just switch it to cold, put my forehead and chest directly in the stream, and just breathe deep and enjoy it has increased, you know, over the years, and I can take like a 10, 15 minute cold shower, listen to some music, meditate, mm-hmm. and come out, look in the mirror, and like, I just feel like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an easy thing. If you appreciate it from that standpoint, like, wow, this is right there, and I can get that, you know, that sort of bodily reaction. Most people are just searching for it somewhere, you know, like, oh, I need to get this new workout plan or this new product, and that's gonna tune me up. And it's really comes down to exposure to the elements and deep breathing and calm, intentional state of mind that appreciates the environment around it. Like, there's no product, there's no course. So I almost feel like I'm cheating people if I become a coach, because I'm not the guru. They are. And I know that's... obviously, people need help. And so that quote, or that thought, that line of thinking is...
Well, that's why I even thought, like, even Big Brother. It's a free thing, right?
Right. Okay, yeah.
Or things like you coming on this podcast.
Right, yeah, and this is something...
going and influencing other yeah, people.
Like, I want to just talk and yeah. help people and not be like, oh, well, now I want $20 for my time. It's like, I don't need the money. Like, my needs are met. I have a job and I have very little expenditures. Yeah, very low bills.
Yeah.
So I have time for people. I have time for conversations. And that's largely why I did it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, I have time and energy, and I have a lot of stuff. Well, I'm kind of tired of this stuff and being a slave to it. I'd rather have friends and just have my cup overflowing with, you know, abundance and love, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that that was possible, so.
Yeah.
We can all do it. Oh, you know, yeah. We can all be free in that sense. It's just... it's a matter of mindset. I'm not saying everyone has to live in a hammock. I'm just saying everyone can begin to appreciate the, you know, the level of wealth that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing this podcast yeah. is incredible. The yeah. amount of listeners, the amount of, you know, space that will change.
Mm-hmm.
and the amount of experience that will be had and communicated. And none of this would have been possible if it wasn't for our desire for movement, our ancestors' desire to explore and explore more efficiently, you know, creating more and more advanced boats and needing tools for that, and
yeah,
farming totally. And agriculture, and just this drive to new heights. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Love your brain.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nice.
You're a very nice deep thinker for a 23-year-old.
Yep. A lot of,
I think when I was 23, I was too drunk to have a thought.
Well, I had a couple beers after work. Helps the words flow, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so yes. Biohacking. What is it?
All right. Biohacking. So, it can be described as do-it-yourself biology. Many biohackers, this consists of making small incremental diet or lifestyle changes to make small improvements in your health and well-being. Biohacks promise anything from quick weight loss to enhanced brain function. So, for me, biohacking began with cold showers. And that's definitely paid off. It's kept me tuned up in terms of, you know, reducing inflammation, kind of post-workout soreness, have a good cold dip, and it's gone, generally. And also I learned about warrior poses at like 18 years old. Warrior pose is like you're holding your hands above your head, your feet are about at least shoulder width apart, and you're basically standing up in like a full like victory position, right?
I'm gonna take a picture of you right now, yeah. And this is gonna be the cover.
So yeah, you're holding that position for 2 minutes and meditating on, I mean, you don't even have to meditate, you could just do the position, but I do believe that mindfulness and like actually having a reason for it is going to help you out. But in terms of the biofeedback or the body language feedback system happening physiologically, is it's releasing leadership hormones. So for guys, testosterone. When I learned about it, I was probably like 35 pounds lighter than I am now, like very low muscle mass. I was about the same height. And, you know, I didn't feel like a very confident man.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to learn about, you know, strategies that are simple and effective. So, yeah, the warrior pose is something that releases testosterone and growth hormone. And it gives your body a biofeedback of leadership. So when you do it and you listen to some good music or something while you're doing it, you will feel different after. Because 2 minutes of holding your arms up in full extension like that, it's difficult for most people's shoulders.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't think I could do 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's a position that instead of, you know, hunching over like this for 2 minutes,
He's suggesting, you know, that he's hunched over looking at his phone.
Hunched over looking at my phone, yeah. Like, necks bent down. This position, over time, would be decreasing my testosterone and, you know, reducing my confidence, making me more of a, yeah, basically a weak man. So what I learned is that this is a method to sort of break out of your shell.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it privately, right? You don't have to go out on a street corner and be like, I'm doing a warrior pose for 2 minutes. So,
but I mean, you can. Yeah,
you can. You can get some weird looks, but whatever. I mean, like, I've rolled into you know, cities and stuff on my bike trip, just like, God, like, all arms up, enjoying it, vibing, warrior pose. And the thing is, it's really about how much time you spend in a body language of fear that will affect your heart and, you know, your lungs and stuff. Things will sort of close up and weaken.
Mm-hmm.
If your head is hunched normally or your back is hunched and, you know, you're not looking the world in the eyes, you're looking at the floor a lot. These things have hormonal effects and there's a feedback loop. So if you notice that and you pay attention to it, you'll see over time how your health changes in regards to just simple differences in body language. Like even now my arms are crossed and that's gonna kind of suggest something to my body, like maybe I'm holding back a bit, you know, afraid to seem too blunt on a podcast that's public and that kind of thing, right?
I'm glad you just uncrossed your arms.
Yeah, so I can open up.
Yes.
I can. So, you have an operating system right now. You're running your personal operating system. Your brain is like the CPU, the motherboard, the random access memory. So the difference is with a computer, you can't like play it music and it will change its state. So it's not the greatest example.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you have an operating system.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's up to you, how are you going to use that operating system? What software do you want to install? Maybe you're going to upgrade the hardware. You're going to, you know, put in a better graphics chip.
Yeah.
Like drinking some vitamin A, some carrot juice. That's improving your vision. Or, say, taking vitamin B6 before going to sleep, a high dose, maybe 300 milligrams, something like that. It's going to make your dreams much more vivid. Your recall, your working memory is going to increase. And that's like an improved graphics card or like an improved RAM so that you can run, you know, instead of like a low resolution game like 720p, you're now running 4K. So you take adaptogens like mushrooms such as cordyceps or chaga or ashwagandha or lion's mane or, of course, you know, psilocybin mushrooms. And these things, they have an effect on your neurons where, you know, there's a greater connection between neurons. There's neurogenesis happening. There's new connections occurring. So it's increasing the efficiency of your brain and your body. Biohacking is about seeing yourself as basically a machine that can be upgraded. You know, like if you were an android robot and you were supposed to drink like some, you know, WD-40 lubricant or whatever every few weeks to keep your joints and stuff and whatever rolling, and you didn't drink the WD-40, like, you know, your joints and stuff start rusting.
Yes.
Whatever. And
down.
Yeah, you could be a smarter android robot and think, oh, well, maybe I'll look into, you know, specialized custom synthetic lubricants and other things that I can, you know, use inside my system to improve the way things are running. Like, you want to be a well-maintenanced machine. If you run a forklift and you don't grease the forks and stuff and you try to, you know, move the forks up and down, they're going to be creaky and they're going to get rusty, and eventually that thing's just not running well, the engine's off, you know, misfiring and stalling out. So a body is a kind of molecular machine. So So there's a spiritual aspect to biohacking,
mm-hmm.
and that's like the warrior pose, and you know, those kinds of meditations on power and leadership, and you know, facing the dragon, accepting fear, facing down, facing down danger, facing down what you're terrified of. That's the spiritual side. And then the physical side is like, you are a machine, and are you maintaining that machine? Like, are you servicing it every 500 hours? Like, is it getting the time in the shop that it needs?
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. Like, you know, if I'm sitting down with my buddies and they're having like 6 beers or whatever, I'll stop maybe at 4 and take some lion's mane mushroom instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that might sound silly, but as a 23-year-old, that's a difference, you know?
Yes.
And it's making changes like that in your behavior. Small changes, like instead of this Gatorade before bed, I'm going to have ashwagandha
mm-hmm.
and some water and, yeah, like that kind of thing. Not losing faith in those small actions. Biohacking really is about what you can do with the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's a lot you can do with the here and now. So.
I love it. I enjoy the irony of you talking about if we come to the world of WALL-E, and then how you also do treat your body as a machine. But it's such a different way, and it's,
right.
and it's as a human. But it's, I love the irony of that.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the way mental concepts can change your life. Because the way you conceptualize reality, the way you look out at the world and perceive it, changes you physiologically. You know, it changes the hormones and the blood flow rate, like the heart pressure and the brainwave state. So, yeah. I don't know where the homunculus is, you know, where the center point is, but I have a gut and I feel things there, and I have a heart and I feel things there, and I have a brain and I feel things there too. And I have an entire body with neurons, like the neurons in your fingertips, you know, sensing the difference between a cork coaster and the polished, smooth surface of a table that's taking, like, tens of thousands of neurons all in communication.
Yeah.
Computing that before it even reaches your brain in a matter of milliseconds. So you've got this, you know, really a beautiful computer, a beautiful simulator as well, like lucid dreaming. That I've talked to a lot of people in my life, and it seems like not a lot of people in our culture are even aware of what lucid dreaming is.
Yeah, I don't dream at all.
But yeah, it's dreaming when you're aware that you're
mm-hmm.
dreaming. And you can live your life lucid. You can know that this is, in a way, a dream. This is going to end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One day you're going to wake up from this body, right? And you realize that there's much more freedom. There's much more breath that is unrestricted.
Beautiful. What is one thing that you do every day that you think benefits your wellness?
I wake up and I smile and I feel joy. Like, I let myself feel it, like really feel it,
mm.
like where it's like goosebumps.
And, aww,
you know,
you have such a like little kid smile on your face
yes,
right now. I
like,
love it. I love how much joy you have in your face. Love it.
That's what I do, and I can't let the concerns and the worries of this world stop me from doing that, because that's really what's keeping me going. That's what keeps me ticking, is just that smile, like, and seeing other people have it too.
Ah,
So.
love it. Awesome. I love that answer. I
Very
love that answer.
simple.
Thank you so much. And do you have any questions for me?
Not sure. I was kind of wondering, like, how you started the whole health food store here in town, if that was a rough experience, but.
Well, a few days before I'd gotten the job at Refresh, I was working at McDonald's.
Oh.
So when I moved back to town, I put a resume out everywhere. I was just getting off of maternity leave. I was moving back from BC. I put out a resume to almost every business in Tiber, Okotoks, some down in Nanton. I was living in Kaylee at the time. And the only two jobs that even gave me a call was a part-time job at No Frills for minimum wage, or at least a guaranteed 40 hours a week at McDonald's for minimum wage. So, well, like, I'm a single mom. I need full-time hours. So I guess this is one of those times where I'm gonna have to bury my little confidence, or my, not my confidence, but my beliefs a little bit.
Right.
In what they serve,
Yeah.
and then to provide for my family. So I did that, and it was quite a turn. I was living in the same room as I did as I was in high school, but this time I had a baby. I was working at the same job, because that was my first job, was McDonald's. So I was also working at the same job that I did in high school, but now having to do it as a single mom. And it was definitely a big, like, okay, let's get this going, universe. I know I had to take this step, and I understand, and that's fine. And now I'm being humbled. Now it's time for me to move on, right? Like, it was an appreciation of where my life had started. Well, not started, but like in my young adult, high school, kind of years. And to be where I was now and being like, okay, I can take how many paths here? Like, I've been in this spot before. What path am I really going to take this time? This is my do-over right now. And I had panic attacks at work. And for multiple different reasons, but the majority of, and then the end of the day, I was not meant to be there. And at one point, it had stopped serving its purpose for me, kind of thing. So it was time to go. And on Instagram, actually, so thank you, Instagram. I'm pretty negative against Instagram right these days. Sometimes it's hard, right? But I saw the posting for the Refresh, and that opened up my eyes to so much more of, like, the food, right? Like, which I'd had before, but not, I didn't have the access that I have now. And that was a really, really beautiful thing for the food aspect and dieting for me, was the amount of access that I had to all of these different things. And they are getting to try, like, all the mushrooms that you talk about, like, I was able to try them, right? And it was a beautiful thing. And that's what's beautiful about that for our customers, even too, is you can try little bits of these things. You don't have to go out and buy the expensive thing of mushrooms just to try and see how it affects your biology. You can come in here, try a little bit of this or that. And that's one of beautiful things that I love about that store, is it's a wonderful opening to things. It's kind of nice that you asked that, actually, because it was just in my meditation last night that I thought, because I'm not one of those moms that I'm like, I wouldn't be complete without my son. No, I'm a whole person. I love him dearly. I'm so grateful for him. But I know that he's not my entire life, and I shouldn't be ashamed to say that. So I'm one of those moms that's a little bit more real. Not that I, like, want him to go or anything. Like, I love the kid. But having him come into my life, I realized was such a step in my, like, wellness journey. Right before that, I was kind of starting it and just like looking around at all these different wellness things and different things and going, I don't even know how to like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Like I was, and I was, had so many anxious, anxiety things and, personality type things at the time that I was, nope, couldn't do it. And having him broke down that wall for me in so much more of a way. So yeah, just last night, I realized that if it wasn't for my son coming into this world, I probably would not have been as interested in these things now as I am today. So, yeah. But yeah, I think that just the universe guided me towards learning about the health of food and what I'm putting in my body. Yeah. Yeah, the universe. All the credit. Awesome. Well, where can everyone find you, Sam?
Well, my Instagram, underscore Sparrow Meliora. It means I hope for better things, or I aspire to greater things. And it's Latin, and I chose it because, well, that's really what I believe. I believe in this shit, and I want people to wake up from their unnecessary suffering. Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice. And you can find myself on Facebook and Instagram at The Answer Is Elephant, as well as at CarlaTurner.wellnessadvocate, Carla spelled with a K. And my website is CarlaTurner.ca. Oh, I should really have that memorized. Like, I don't know why I can't. Oh. And if you would like to be a guest on my podcast, there is a form on the website. Thank you so much, Sam. This has been wonderful pleasure.
It's great.
Yeah. And I feel like you're antsy to move now. So I mean, I feel like you've been sitting for long enough.
It's been a bit. Yeah.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening.